I only had 7 verses of chapter 4 read today in the worship service because I was going to read from the entire story of Sisera here in the sermon. Now, first of all, I want to say there are some messages, there are some passages, there are some stories in the Bible that make you scratch your head and go, "That's gross. Why is that in the story? Why is that here in the Bible? Ugh." And this is one of those stories. All right, here we go. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. So the Lord sold them into the hand of King Jabin of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Hasareth Hagoyim. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron and had oppressed the Israelites cruelly for 20 years. Here we have the Israelites doing what the Israelites do best. God has made a covenant with them. They have accepted the covenant. They have been called to live in a relationship with God. They have accepted it freely. They said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and have no other gods but Yahweh." And then they would turn and go astray and worship other gods. They would do evil in the sight of the Lord. And they would do this continually. And so God would hand them over to the surrounding peoples to punish them. And here we have another example of that. They've done evil in the sight of the Lord. They've been handed over to King Jabin of Hazor, the Canaanite, for punishment. And Sisera, who by the way is a Philistine name, Sisera, he has a lot of artillery, a lot of tanks of the day, chariots, tanks. And he oppressed the Israelites. He oppressed them and herded them into camps and kept them under his thumb with his military forces for 20 years. And the people cried out to God. At that time, Deborah, a prophetess, wife of Lippadoth, was judging Israel. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah. That's rather convenient, don't you think? Her name is Deborah, and she sits under the palm of Deborah. I wonder how that happened. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came up to her for judgment. She's a powerful lady. People looked to her with respect. When they had a problem, they would come to her, and she would make a decision. Sometimes it was a juridical decision. Sometimes it was a political leadership decision. She'd make a decision, and the people would not only listen, they'd obey. They'd do what she said. She had true power. She sent and summoned Barak and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go. Take position at Mount Tabor, bringing 10,000 from the tribe of Naphtali and the tribe of Zebulun. I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the Wadi Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand." It's not a suggestion. It's not a, "I think this would be a good idea, Barak." No. The Lord commands that you do this. The Lord, the King of the universe, the Creator of all things. When it says Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that means Yahweh, the biggie. The Lord orders you to do this. And it's a brilliant tactical move. Mount Tabor is freestanding mountain on the edge of the Jezreel Valley, positioned between Nazareth on one side and Megiddo on the other. It commands a perfect strategic location for knowing where one's enemy armies are located, what their paths of escape would be, how they could approach your position. It's a perfect strategic location for knowing what's going on. And God says, take 10,000 soldiers and go to the top of Mount Tabor, and you'll be able to see the entire valley, and you'll be able to see Sisera's armies as he comes, and you'll be able to defeat them at the Wadi Kishon with that position of intelligence. It's an order, not a suggestion. He's been ordered to do this. What's Barak's answer? Does Barak go, yes, ma'am, and go? Nope. Barak said to her, if you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. He was afraid. He wanted to have Deborah with him. He wanted to have Deborah with him to help lead these combined armies against Sisera. Her authority, her influence was so strong that he knew that with her on his side, with her helping him lead the army, he would be victorious. They would obey him and do what he says. He knows also that she has, you know, it in with God. She and God, they be friends. And it doesn't hurt to have a friend of God, a prophetess of God, the judge of God right there with you. That's a good thing to have. So he's kind of weaselly here. If you go with me, I'll go. But if you won't go, I won't go. Okay, Barak. And she said, I will surely go with you. Whew. Lucky Barak. I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. I mean, I can hear the gears in Barak's mind right now going, the God's going to give the glory to Deborah. God's going to give Deborah the victory here. I'm going to lead the army, and she's going to get the credit. Okay. Then Deborah got up and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. And 10,000 warriors went up behind him. And Deborah went up with him. Now, Heber the Kenite. Now, that's sort of end of Act 1, Scene 1, or 2, actually. And you've got the commercial break now. And you're going to get to find out a little bit of side information that's going to be important down the road. Now, Heber the Kenite had separated from the other Kenites, that is, the descendants of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, and had encamped as far away as, and here we got a really big word, Elon Bezanaam, which is near Kadesh. Now, the reason for knowing that will come a little bit later. There's this Heber the Kenite, his household is living over there not too far away from where the battle's going to be taking place. All right? Just keep that on the side. When Sisera was told that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera called out all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, all of his artillery and field pieces, all of his tanks. And all the troops were with him, from Harosheth Hagoyim to the Wadi Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, up! For this is the day on which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. I thought it was going to be into a woman's hand. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. The Lord is indeed going out before you. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 warriors following him. And the Lord threw Sisera and all his chariots and all his army into a panic before Barak. Sisera got down from his chariot and fled away on foot, while Barak pursued the chariots and the army to Hashoeth HaGoyim. All of the army of Sisera fell by the sword. No one was left. Sisera is a coward. His armies are going to get routed. His artillery is going to get wiped out. And what does he do? He jumps down off his command vehicle and runs away alone into the desert night, afraid. Now, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, wife of Heber the Kenite. Remember him? For there was peace between King Jabin of Hazor and the clan of Heber the Kenite. Heber the Kenite was an ally of Jabin, and therefore could be expected to be a friend to Sisera. Possible refuge. Jael came out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Hey, come over here, turn aside. Turn aside, my lord, to me. Have no fear." So he turned aside to her into the tent, and she covered him with a rug. He wanted to hide. So she covered him with a rug. Then he said to her, "Please, give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." So she opened a skin of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. What happens when you feed someone warm milk? They go to sleep. Lullaby and good night. Under the rug in Jael's tent. Nice and safe and sound and protected from the armies of Barak and Deborah. Right? Nope. So she opened a skin of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. And he said to her, "Stand at the entrance of the tent. And if anybody comes and asks you, 'Who is here?' say, 'Nobody's here.'" Look, Sisera went running that away. He ain't in here. That lump on the floor, just a bad floor. Don't worry about it. But Jael, wife of Heber, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the tent peg into his temple until it went all the way into the ground. He was lying fast asleep from weariness. And he died. Well, now, no, duh. Somebody take a tent peg and a hammer and drive it into your skull. You're going to die too. Blech. What a gross story. What a gross, icky story. Now, keep that in your mind when you go to lunch today. Sisera lying there. Okay. Then as Barak came in pursuit of Sisera, Jael went out to meet him and said, "Come and I will show you the man whom you're seeking." So he went into her tent, and there was Sisera lying dead with the tent peg in his temple. Whew. What a splitting headache that must have been. Aww. Ba-dum-bum. And what an awfully ugly story. What does a story about a military campaign 3,000 plus years ago have to do with us today? And an ugly one at that, where the leader of the opposing force runs away and gets a tent peg shoved through his skull and into the ground underneath his head. Well, First of all, it tells us that you don't always get what you expect from God. I mean, here's Barak, mighty man, mighty leader of the people, expected to lead this army, expected to rout the armies of King Jabin and kill off the leader, Sisera, and have victory. And he gets afraid. I'm afraid. I've got to have Deborah with me. She'll help me lead the armies, and it'll be helpful to have God's good friend right there. And so he's told, you'll have victory, but you won't get the glory. The glory goes to a woman. And it won't be me. She doesn't tell him this, but it won't be me. It'll be Jael and her tick peg and hammer. Isn't that right? You don't always get what you expect. Barak thought he was going to have the glory in this battle. And it went to someone of minor importance in the world's view. Someone who did an act for the people that essentially ensured their liberty. Jael. Frankly, an insignificant person in the big scheme of things, in their world. God will use, this also teaches us, that God will use the unexpected to work God's wonders. Not what we expect. God will use the unexpected to work good for the people of God, to work for liberty. And it also teaches us, when confronted with justice, when confronted with God's judgment, we shouldn't be running away. We shouldn't be trying to get away from it, but rather turn and face it. Sisera would have been better off not running away from his chariots and soldiers and trying to hide out. We shouldn't try to run away. The good news is that we in the church have the story of Christ Jesus and his death for us. He took the tent peg for us. He takes for us the penalty that we deserve so that we can come into a continual relationship with God. Every time we fail, through Christ Jesus, we have the opportunity to get up and move on. So today, as you go eat lunch, remember Deborah. Remember Barak, a fortuitous name there. And remember Jael and her tent peg and her hammer. And give thanks to God that God will use the unexpected among us to work wonders. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2008 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information, or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.